Welcome to the Media Cat Magazine podcast. I'm your host, Mike Pigott, editor at the magazine. And for today's pod, I have with me two people, Simon Akers and Jazz Polk, co-founders of NDIM, Neurodiversity in Media. Welcome to both of you.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
I've got Simon here with his brand new headset, brand new microphone, ready to roll. It's looking good.
It's so far so good. I can hear it and it's working and you can hear me. So it's a success.
That's very good. Well, we were saying off mic, Simon, you've written a couple of pieces for the magazine before. Jazz, I'm not sure you have. You're most welcome to. at any point in the future, if you feel that you have things to say and you want to say them, then come write for the magazine. So the reason we're talking now is an initiative that's been going a couple of months now. I'm calling it an initiative. I'm sure you guys will correct me. But can you tell us what NDIM is and why you started it and why you teamed up and what it's all about?
Shall I start? Or
Okay.
So yeah, you're absolutely right. It is an initiative, Mike. That's the right word. It's definitely not a business or an organization. So, you know, this is something that was born out of a need and a personal experiences of neurodivergent individuals. And it's very clear. It's actually, the irony is, it's something that we started in our spare time and we wanted to sort of create something not for profit. It's a movement, it's an initiative. There is some irony where I said to someone earlier on, I feel like my business has been my side initiative the last few weeks and this has been more, but I think that's just the nature of starting these things up. But in all seriousness, it came from this, initially from my point of view, it came from a late diagnosis of ADHD when I was 39. That is only 2 years ago, by the way. And I wrote and delivered a manifesto for a media awards, and I was shortlisted for this this cohort of future leaders in the industry. And I kind of got this sense that I've been living in this kind of dark for a while. I wasn't quite sure why, but the diagnosis did give me clarity, and it from that rose the idea of thinking about four S's of systems, spaces, safety, and support. So I kind of shared it with a room of media leaders. There were some people from companies, agencies, ad tech, publishers there. And they got the idea from me that, look, 15 to 20% of your company are neurodivergent. Let's make it good for everyone, right? I mean, whether you know you're neurodiverse or not, if you can get the basics right, then it's a really good thing. So then NDIM started. I bought a domain, which we've not actually activated yet because we've got a Substack. And then obviously around that time, I also met Jazz. And Jazz is also similar, slightly different, but similar experiences. And, you know, she's brought in this real focus of community events and something which is potentially really important. So yeah, that's my sort of journey into where I'm sat here with you right now. So,
okay, you mentioned the four S's. Was that something that you picked up, or was that something you created yourself?
I wrote that. Yes.
Okay, so it's sort of a way to structure what you were.
Yeah,
going
through. Yeah. I kind of thought about the areas that were bothering me, and I just thought people love an acronym and a framework, you know, in media. But I thought to talk that language, work into that a bit. But actually, what it does born lots of. It's like, you know, each branch has loads of leaves on it, essentially. So that was the start of it, yeah. Mm.
Jazz, what was your sort of way in? Obviously, we touched on it briefly, but your sort of experiences to get to this point?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, similar to Sia, I was late diagnosed. For me, it was during the pandemic for various reasons, and I think everyone has their own story, what might have led them to getting that or a diagnosis, and particularly a lot of the awareness that's come since then. I became a parent at the same time, so I had a baby during the lockdowns at the same time as getting the diagnosis. So, you know, for the first few years, it's like navigating this new understanding of who I am and almost like unlearning a lifetime of things that have happened that, you know, you kind of go through this grieving process. But I was able to do it at home on maternity leave. And then I think re-entering the workforce and actually moving into the media industry at that time as well, you know, there's like this whole other thing of self-discovery and like trying to get accommodations where I might have burnt out historically or and things like that. So I started talking about my experiences online on LinkedIn. After kind of initially talking to my employer and getting more confident talking about it. And I realized that basically every time I posted something online, I got a series of messages from people reaching out to say that they were having similar experiences, that they were either seeking a diagnosis or someone in their family or someone that they cared for. I helped some clients get their teenage children diagnosed during their GCSEs and A-levels because that was like a particularly stressful time. And it kind of gave me the sense of opportunity to help people. And actually, that's how Sai and I originally connected. And then at the same time as when he was coming up with the 4S manifesto. So it's a case of I felt like it was positive. I felt like it was also actionable. But we have taken the time to kind of think about how to bring it to the industry, which has been the focus of this year. But yeah, it's been a really interesting journey. I think talking about it more publicly is also quite. There's a lot of vulnerability involved in that. I think Sai and I have probably seen the best and the worst of each other in this time. But
Yeah,
now that it's out there,
absolutely.
we've realized how much it's needed based on the feedback. So it's just about keeping that going.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I wanted to touch on next in a way was sort of you both had sort of fairly different careers in a way and sort of come from different backgrounds and moved through your, the industry in different fashions. But what have both been your experiences in terms of, I don't know, the lack of awareness of these things? I mean, if we go back 30 years, half the terms people wouldn't have heard of unless they're, in say the medical profession, but, sort of general society, even 5 years ago, maybe, perhaps we wouldn't have had the understanding we have now. But I just wondered like where it fits into the world of, sort of marketing and media. How have you sort of found it through careers? I suppose you're having to reflect, right? Because with a
Yeah.
diagnosis, you are then looking back at your life and going, oh, that's why I did
Oh,
that, or that's why I was.
100%. Yeah. I think like, I remember when I first got diagnosed, it's because I knew something was off and I'd had some therapy. And I actually had, with full candor, I had some time off work in 2018. I had a bit of a burnout. I thought at the time it was anxiety, depression. I was trying different antidepressants and sort of working out what was going on. Something wasn't right, but I couldn't quite find that real, I guess, panacea, what was going on. And I think when I went back into therapy and I wondered why some days I felt limitless and other times I felt like I'd been, lobotomized basically, because like, why am I like this? And the therapist was said, have you ever considered ADHD? And to be honest, at the time, it was just before lockdown. So I was, well, I don't know, it was 36, whatever. I was like, yeah, the kid's happy. So there's no adults. It's a big adult thing. I was learning about that myself. And then I went through the process. They sent me the 1 to 8 chart and I was coming in at like a 9, everything. So I was like, okay, there's definitely something happening here. And I think when you get the diagnosis, it makes total sense. So first of all, there's a little bit of relief because you've got a bit of clarity. But then what happened the following months was that feeling of a little bit of sadness, a little bit of grief, if I'm honest. Mikey, this feeling that, oh, that makes sense. That job didn't work. That, I don't know, could be a relationship, could be a friendship, could be the way you spent that ridiculous money. I don't know that you, but things, I mean, some things are just you being daft, right? But there's actually a lot of things that actually are attributable to you. And I think that's the big thing about go back to think about our different backgrounds. We're different people with different experiences. And we're an industry who talk about different audiences and personas. And this, I think the point of this is to kind of let's focus on the minds who are doing it, the mosaic of different people who are doing it, Jazz's background, my background, our experiences, they're all different. And with that deserves its own, I think, like global thinking about the different types of people, really. Some had knew they had ADHD, some didn't. Some are undiagnosed. And also there's invisibility. Some people don't know they have it or they know they have it and they don't declare it because they're not safe. So it's a very, very intricate thing, I think.
Yeah, I think there's yeah, definitely a lot of especially in the last few years, a lot of sort of self-diagnosis out there of people maybe I mean, I include myself in that. Like I'm not sure I can be bothered yet, at least, to go through any of those processes. But it's one of those things when you start to like read about it and learn about it and then again reflect on your actions in offices and in your career and how you've worked, etc. It's like, how do you communicate with people? Are you reading certain signs? Does I don't know, everything distract you in the environment that you're working in? And I mean, how have you sort of I suppose before and after you started this initiative, so how have you sort of found the industry in terms of its kind of understanding in recent years of these issues?
I think in my experience, the positive thing is that a lot more people are talking about it. And I don't know, at least within the companies I'm working in, it's not seen as taboo. And there's a lot of people talking about it, which is a really good thing. But I also think you don't know what you don't know. And like talking about something, everyone being a bit more aware of it, I'm still trying to figure out the details of my own condition and working out how to communicate that internally with my employer. And a big part of this initiative is getting employers to understand how to engage neurodiverse talent within their company and then how to play to their strengths and how to provide accommodations that are needed to do the best work. And if we look at the media industry, there's creative roles, there's strategic roles, there's technical roles, there's things that like it's like moth to a flame that you know would attract neurodivergent people, but you've also got the context of client demands, huge businesses, commercial targets, and you know, and a lot that's going on in fast pace. And I think the bigger the organization becomes, the harder it is to sometimes keep track of the individual processes that are happening in a company. So I think raising awareness is one part of it, and by normalizing the conversation. And for us, we've been engaging with a lot of senior leaders since launching End.AM, where we obviously had this idea of, you know, people that we think can provide their voice and can champion the initiative, which is why we launched it alongside five other people who have different parts or representation in the industry. But what we necessarily didn't expect was the amount of people getting in touch with us saying, how can we help you? I'm an ally. I work for this company. I'm senior in this role as well. So we're trying to find a way to normalize the conversation by bringing those people out,
100%.
and creating that sense of community and awareness. But coming back to making it actionable, I think that's where the 4S's really comes in.
Well, I was going to say, maybe this is a good point at which to talk about sort of your mission and what you plan to do, and maybe you mentioned the manifesto, I think, at one point. So
Yes.
should we dive into that? What's that about? What are you asking people to do there?
I better do this one, hadn't I, Jess? Because
Yeah,
I
you
did.
do it. You do it.
I mean, actually, you know what? Actually, you do it. Actually, forget it. Now, okay. So, again, it was an initiative that the I think with the Media Leader, another publication they did with Future 100. They have a cohort of future leaders, and there was a short list of people to talk about something in 2 or 3 minutes or something that was important to them. And around that time, I'd been diagnosed, and it was kind of this is, you know, I'm always fascinated in behavioral science and everything about unintended consequences and media and all these sort of impacts. So this is obviously, I think the reason we're having this now is probably an unintended consequence of that. But the manifesto for me, because I had this burning feeling of wanting the change, and I guess something being off, and I don't really want people going through what I went through. There's that personal sort of fire in me on that one. And there was a short list of videos that went around the group, and me and three others, we talked about different things from ageism to mental health and to this. And we're shortlisted. We did the presentation, and it was essentially me sharing, like, okay, this is the problem, 15 to 20% neurodivergent. We spend our time focusing on hearts and minds. Let's get in the hearts and minds of ourselves. How can you make your workplace better for people who are of various things? It could be Asperger's, ADHD, ASD, OCD, whatever. And then the system spaces, safety, and support was the sort of, I guess, the word mechanic you could use to sort of think about those different areas. So safety could be one, feeling safe to work from home versus feeling safe to unmask. Support could be a cup of tea or a helpline, and spaces could be working from home versus I don't know, having a breakout space. So it's things that to think about that hopefully are tangible. And the manifesto was much more like, this is what you could do. I don't like using the word framework because it's not a framework, it's not regulatory, it's not doing it. It's up to the companies if they want to embed such inspiration into their framework. And the idea of the user guide we published was to bring the manifesto to life with like actionable checklists and simple inputs that they could potentially fix in their company across those 4 S's.
And so is this something that you're sort of aiming at kind of, I don't know, senior leadership within agencies, et cetera, or is it HR a bit as well, maybe?
Yeah, I think for me it's the you want to go to the people who are influential. Of course, we've got the ear of a lot of agency and ad tech CEOs and leaders at the moment. They are bringing in their heads of culture and people and talent and even comms directors for internal and external comms. So there is that sort of initiative. And I think once the CEOs are aware, you know, I guess they're kind of internally sponsoring it. They can encourage the culture teams to help with it. And then, you know, it's people like it's one small agency, they said they've got a task force team, they're going to task force it. And then they're going to come back to me with feedback like, A, we've managed to do these things easily. We can't do those two things yet. We think we want to know those two things, but maybe we need a bit more support and advice. So that's kind of what's been happening. Yeah.
It sort of feels like one of those things of maybe in the last maybe just under 10 years, it's sort of, I don't know, businesses have sort of been more in the kind of not activist space necessarily, but sort of galvanized around an issue, whatever it might be, sort of, I don't know, a few years ago, maybe it was purpose or something like that. And it sort of feels like there was a piece in Press Gazette earlier this year about how autism and ADHD are very widespread in media and media industry, but then at the same time, so is neurodiverse ignorance. So it's kind of an interesting one where you've got these clear two issues almost at loggerheads with each other, which I guess is what you guys are trying to tackle. I suppose on the flip side of that, if you're approaching, leaders in the industry, there was another one I stumbled on actually from quite a few years ago now, was in 2017 in the Harvard Business Review that said neurodiversity is a competitive advantage for businesses. I just wondered, it's in the media industry where it's so competitive, it's almost like, why isn't this being embraced sooner? I suppose we go back to the ignorance point again, right? Pretty much. Do you find that that's the majority of what you've been encountering so far? I know you're only a couple of months into the initiative, but the ignorance piece of explaining and educating what you're talking about and why it should help the business beyond anything else. Even if you didn't care about the people within the business, it's going to help your business, right? Like, as a sort of competitive advantage. It's sadly the terms we have to talk in sometimes.
I think Jads will probably talk to this more than me because about the community and the unintended consequence of the allyship and the people getting involved. It makes me think it's needed. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it again comes down to you don't know what you don't know. And I think with some of the awareness that we've got talking about it now, like one of the things I've learned about, particularly this year, was the concept behind dyslexic thinking. Now, I'm someone with ADHD, so I know that I think out of the box and sometimes I need to be reined in because I almost go too big and I need help bringing it back. But actually, it's things like how people with dyslexia can use that as their way of thinking outside of the box as well with other terms there. And we're working with, other partners and representatives who can talk to that and normalize it as well. And it's just this idea that, good ideas can come from different places and from different trains of thought. And it's about enabling that. And I think that is where there can be a real point of difference, because I work with a lot of incredible people that have neurodivergence. The difference is they might not openly talk about it, but it is the thing that drives a lot of them. So we're trying to provide that platform there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know we've sort of touched on it, but is there any sort of, I suppose, initial change that you'd hope to see within the industry, and then anything sort of further down the line, I guess, if you're sort of planning out stages of how the industry can improve in this sense?
For me, I think the 4S was kind of like the call to action, practical mechanic of NDIM, which is can be implemented, and that was on a baseline that everyone's aware and everyone is in keen and embracing it and actually can write. Okay, there's a problem. We identify it. We know it. We care. Let's implement. But what I've also learned in the last 3 or 4, weeks, whatever, with Jazz is this kind of there is still that appetite for the learning of it. Embracing it. And I still get that sense that there's a lot of people who DM me, don't publicly comment, who still feel like they can't truly unmask. There's still a problem with of course, on a KPI basis, I'd love to see implementation of the 4S's. They say, yeah, we're doing it. And I can keep it in my little tracker with my little tick boxes on a spreadsheet. That's exciting. But that's not the reissue here. The issue is, what is the greater piece? And this is where the community is coming from. We want to do events. We want to do different things that Jazz will talk about, because for me, it's like we need to evangelize and normalize the conversation, especially senior leaders who put their head above the parapet and say, I'm doing fine, but I've got some challenges. That's going to be really important on that sort of social proofing point of view we mentioned, to actually galvanize that change. You need to create that little bit of movement. I mean, we're kind of stymied a little bit with our time and resource, but we are seeing some really positive kindling at the start of this, aren't we? So.
And I think the sort of three things that we're focusing on, obviously one is about getting as many companies as possible to adopt the 4S manifesto. So we've kind of got a target of like 85% of media companies for the 15% there, which is it's a big goal, like obviously for us off our own backs and in our spare time to do that. But,
yeah, it's not a Q4 target, trust me.
No, it's a long-term vision. And we've had some amazing positivity from many like really big companies as well who are engaging with us because they want to be able to do it and adapt it in their way. The second thing we're really focusing on as well is like partnerships. So working with like industry bodies, working with publishers. We're very fortunate to be invited to a couple of panels and events coming up soon where we can get the topic of neurodiversity onto the agenda at some of these big marketing events and conferences as well, to start normalizing the conversation or driving that awareness. But the third one, and Simon's mentioned this a couple of times, is the community building piece, which is almost like an unintended consequence of this, where, so we're getting individuals reaching out to us, but also companies being like, how can we get involved? And for us, it's one of the things we were asking as we prepared to launch was like, how do we even measure like the 4S manifesto? Are we gonna, you can't almost like target a certain companies to achieve certain things, right? But what we can do is actually create a platform for people to provide feedback and for companies to provide feedback to each other and learn, because I think we've realized that every business is approaching this in their own way. But there's always going to be an opportunity to learn from someone else. And we've seen some great examples from some businesses, and we'd like to be able to bring those organizations together at events, at panels, but also provide a place for people to come together and connect and share their experiences. So for 2025, that's what we're hoping to do more of, and creating more content, sharing more experiences and creating a community. But our main thing will also be about making sure companies are getting involved with the 4Ss in some capacity. Yeah.
Actually doing what they say they are doing, which is
really important. Yes, that's it. It's not just a box tick. Yeah, exactly. We don't just want a list of things that become arbitrary. It's like a cultural change.
Yeah, and it sounds like the community side of that will almost be like, I don't know, the glue or the fuel or something that kind of keeps that ticking along. And everyone maybe talking to each other and going, well, my company's doing it, or they're struggling with this or whatever.
Yeah, that, and I think once the 4Ss are out there, you know, that's the guidance, and that's the idea. Do with it as you will. And we're working with people that are helping us to socialize it as well, which is great. And we've realized our job is to kind of maintain the shepherding of the core message and managing that community. But actually, now that it's out there, we're seeing ripple effects, which is amazing.
Yeah. Which is, yeah, it's crazy. And I think that the 4S is, like I say, we're not dogmatic about these answers. We've crowdsourced, like I say, it's from the neurodivergent for the neurodivergent. It's kind of like we've crowdsourced things that we believe are in ideas, a bit of kindling across the 4Ss that people can implement. It could be this, it could be headphones, it could be art, whatever it is. And we have a lot of the answers, but we're not going to have all the answers. We ain't got, you know, we're not stewarding this. We can't regulate, you know, we're not a legal body. We're people who are just trying to inspire thoughts and ideas. And we know that this is version one, right? We know this is going to evolve, which is exciting and important as well.
So from what it sounds like, though, it sounds like there is some sort of appetite from the industry to change, to do this change, right? Would you say that it's largely positive, or you sort of, it's a bit of both, a bit of an uphill struggle with some people at the moment or organizations?
I think it's too early to tell. I feel like the initial, everyone's always like happy at the start. It's like when you start a business, everyone wants a coffee and a catch up, and then the rubber hits the road and things change. But we're in that early thing. It's been very positive. Lots of engagement with some serious people in the industry. That's been good. But for me, it's about sustainability. You don't want to, you know, a little bit over time, but I don't know what you think, Jazz, but that's my view. I'm positive about it, but I'm also aware of maintain momentum and importance of that. And it's not just a box ticking exercise. That's my thing.
Yeah, again, a very positive appetite for change. I think sometimes implementing change is the barrier, and it's understanding what needs to be done to do that. You know, I think things I've experienced myself is like, maybe there's a policy in procurement or in finance or IT that actually we have to bring in different parts of a business to help make accommodations, but also bring specialist training in. You know, maybe reconsider some of the standard day-to-day things that we do that maybe aren't as neuro-inclusive, but it's just because no one's maybe mentioned it before. So, you know, there's like a now and next for me as to where I think about how we make it actionable for companies. But that's where I think it's been interesting so far to hear companies say, oh yeah, it's on our agenda, but sometimes you have to find out where it sits within the business.
After Black Friday, I think, at the minute.
Yes. Well, that's another topic.
I was going to mention that just before this call. I got an email that was Black November. I think they'd just given up with Friday or a week. They were like, no,
oh,
Black
my
November,
God.
They just called it.
So it'll be like, Cyber December as well.
I don't know. Everything is black going forwards, as the legendary Amy Winehouse told us. I know we have to wrap up in a second, but I just wanted to ask about, you mentioned events. Are there any sort of events you've got coming up, or next year, or things that you'd like to do or host or go to? Or?
Yeah, so we've got a couple of things bubbling. So what we'll be hoping to do in the new year is announce a community event. So that's going to be more about individuals coming together and sharing experiences as our sort of kickoff. And then the aspiration for later in the year will be to do an industry event where we're inviting more kind of company-specific leaders. So we're just kind of getting support for that at the moment, working with businesses who have offered to sponsor, which is great. But as I said, a big part of this is we're doing this in our own time. So the bigger our community gets, the easier it is to bring these to the industry. But yeah, watch out. In the new year, we will be announcing some community events.
Okay, sounds good. Well, you know, Mediacat Magazine, we're always happy to support. You know,
Thank you.
media's in our name, and I'm pretty sure we have neurodiverse people in our team. So I count myself as one, of course, but.
Thanks, Mikey. And also, like on that point though, like one of the big sort of mantras that I've been saying a lot, and I know I've seen people share it, and you know, Pedro was one of our partners, Paul Jazz. We talk about this, like what's good for the hive's good for all the bees, right? Like, you know, with neurodiversity, it's such a complex subject. We're talking about neurotypical, in I hate the phrase neurodiverse, but basically different brains together, right? Also, you can't arbitrarily go, oh, someone who's autistic is that, someone who's ADHD is that, someone who's dyslexic is that. It's a reality that we're all built differently. And I think if you can set these things in motion, you're going to please everyone. And I use the analogy the other day, like if something triggers someone who's autistic 10 out of 10, it will still trigger someone neurotypical 7 out of 10. It's just more, it may be acute in some people. So it's kind of like finding that spot of actually this works for all of us to be happier and ultimately probably be better for business if everyone's happy, right? So that's the general idea.
No, definitely. And I mean, personal experience myself, like I think certain things that aren't conducive to how my brain works, it's basically tire me out. They use more brain energy, so I'm physically more tired at the end of the day or during the day constantly or whatever. So you get tired, you get angry, you don't sleep as well. So you're not actually doing your job as well, technically, if it all comes down to you know, doing your job, etc., or something. So you can be more productive if we can all, I don't know, fit into our strange little brains in a better way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Good stuff. Well, yeah, we're happy to support and happy to share things on the magazine, and yeah, look forward to what's next for NDIM. But yeah, I just want to say thank you to both of you for coming on the Mediacat Magazine podcast.
Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
for having us and giving us this opportunity.
100%. Giving people like you know, great voices and platforms in the industry helping us with this, it's so much appreciated. So more than you know. So thank you, Mikey.
Well, it sounds like a much needed initiative for the industry, definitely. So, look forward to seeing you guys make waves.
Thank you.